The Tanya for today, for the 23rd Chav Gimel Adar Aleph, is at the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis, Perek Lev of Tanya. In the previous Perek, the Alter Rebbe explained how there's a double consolation, two ways, two levels on which a person consoles himself after the critical self-evaluation of the chapters preceding that one. And that is that a person says to himself, it's all true and without a doubt that I am far from God and despicable and so on. However, that's true only of one half, one part of myself, and that is the animal soul in the body with which the Beinoni identifies. So the self that he despises is the animal self. But in addition to that, there's also a godly soul. And the godly soul is in exile within the unholiness of the body and the animal soul. And therefore, instead of being depressed or saddened by the condition of the animal soul, he devotes himself to the welfare of the godly soul to give the godly soul a freedom, to take it out of the imprisonment of the body and allow it to reconnect with her father, with the Eibishter, through Torah and Mitzvahs. And so he does Torah and Mitzvahs with a joy that comes from the release that the Neshama has from the body and from the imprisonment that allows the Neshama to express itself and to reunite with the Eibishter. And although the body, the animal soul, hasn't become any holier, yet he ignores the animal soul's unholy condition in favor of the joy of the godly soul. And this is called Yitzias Mitzrayim, running away from Egypt. Egypt is still Egypt. There is still an unholiness in the animal soul. But he runs away from it, he ignores it, and turns his attention to the godly soul. The second consolation is that although it's true that I am despicable and lowly and so on, and that is the animal soul, but who did this? How did my neshama, how does any neshama end up down on earth from its high place and stuck in a body and an animal soul? The Eibishter did this. Why would the Eibishter do this? In order to bring about a greater elevation. And what is elevated? The animal soul. So the fact that the animal soul's elevation is the purpose of creation, as the Alter Rebbe will explain later, that is the second consolation, that although the animal soul is not yet holy and not yet perfect, but it will be, and raising the animal soul, raising up the animal soul, is the whole purpose of creation. Having come to this, where the person, being what Hasidus wants a Jew to be, completely broken-hearted and embittered over his own condition, over himself, he finds himself totally worthless and despicable, himself meaning his animal soul, and his joy comes from the joy of the neshama. In other words, it's not who he is as an individual that gives him joy, but rather the fact that he's a Jew, that he has a Jewish neshama. Having arrived at this level, now the Alter Rebbe says he is ready to fulfill the mitzvah of Ahavas Yisro, of loving your fellow Jew. Perek Lamed Beis. V'hine al yedei kiyum advarim hanal, by fulfilling the things mentioned before. Li'yeis gufein nivzav animas be'enov, to arrive at a condition, at a position, where his body is he despises. And his joy is the joy of the neshama alone, exclusively. He despises his body, not the physical body. He despises the nature of the body. In other words, the animal soul. And his joy comes from the neshama, from the fact that he has a godly soul. This is the straight and easy path to come to fulfill the mitzvah of loving your fellow Jew as yourself. This is the straight and easy way of coming to fulfill the mitzvah of loving your fellow Jew as yourself. Because in love, there are two possibilities. There is an acquired love and there's an essential love. Acquired love means when you see something you like and you love it. You see something you admire and you love it. When you see a virtue in another person, when you see a greatness in another person, you love that person. When you admire something in a person, you love it. That's called an acquired love. It is a love born out of seichel. Because your seichel tells you that this is a good thing, that's why the heart responds with love. Then there's an essential love, like self-love. A person loves himself long before he finds any virtue in himself, and without looking for virtue in himself. He loves himself because he is himself. In the same way, he loves those people who are himself, his parents, his children, his brothers and sisters. He loves them because they are himself. So there too is an essential love. They are the same flesh and blood. And so he loves them as he loves himself. Included in his self-love is those people who are also himself. The difference between acquired love and self-love is that acquired love is an external love. It doesn't touch him at his core. It doesn't touch his true self, because the love comes from seichel. It comes from an observation, from an evaluation of the other person, and therefore it is not deeper than that which causes it. And since it is caused by an external, by a faculty, one of the attributes of the person, not by his essence, therefore the love also doesn't reach the essence. It is an external love. The second thing is that the acquired love can end, can stop. He can stop loving the person he loves. Because the love is created from seichel, it's created from what he sees in the other person as a virtue. If he should later discover that this person's virtue was only imaginary, only superficially, then he will stop loving him. If he should find out that in addition to his virtues, the other person also has faults, then he might stop loving him, or not love him as much. Whereas, with essential love, first of all, the essential love touches him, essentially. It's coming from his essence, and therefore, it can't ever stop, it can't ever end. Just as he can never stop loving himself, even after he sees faults in himself. In the same way, he won't stop loving those who he loves as himself with an essential love, even when he sees their faults. That's concerning the love itself, concerning whom he loves. An acquired love cannot apply to all people equally. The greater person he will love more, and the smaller person, the person with lesser virtues, smaller greatness, smaller virtues, he will love less. And the person who has no virtue at all, he won't see any reason to love at all. Whereas in an essential love, if you love your children, then it doesn't differ. The love doesn't differ from the smarter child. You don't love the smarter child more than the not so bright child. You don't love the good child any more than you love the bad child. Of course, the love expresses itself differently. And there can be differences in how revealed the love is. But essentially, it doesn't change. And that's why the Alter Rebbe says that this despising the body and taking joy in the neshama, this is the way to come to fulfill the mitzvah v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. This is how you come to love every Jew as yourself, whereas if you use the other method of looking for the other person's virtues, then you will love him, but not as you love yourself. It won't be an essential love. And therefore also, because he despises his body and loves his neshama, he can love l'chol nefesh mi'yisrael l'migodu v'ad kotan. He can love every Jew from the greatest to the smallest. And he can love them equally. Because the love is an essential one, it doesn't differ from the great to the small. Whereas if he loved with a conventional love, with an acquired love, then he would love the greater more than he loves the smaller. But because he despises his body, and he loves his own neshama, that's why when he looks at another Jew, he sees the neshama and not the body. And therefore, as far as the neshama goes, all souls are one. All Jews are one. And just as he loves himself, he loves the other Jew because he is himself. So there's an essential love and not an acquired love. Whereas without this awareness and without this appreciation, if he didn't take joy in his neshama and despise his body, then the love he would have for the other Jew would be a love acquired through virtue. Then he wouldn't be able to love with an essential love, and he wouldn't be able to love every Jew. In today's Hayem Yem for the 23rd of Adar Aleph, the Rebbe writes that Harabonim Ubaylei Teira, the rabbis and the sages, Nikroyim Einei Ha'eda, they are called the eyes of the community, the Roshi Alfei Yisrael, and the heads of the community. Ukishaharesh Hubari, where they are described as the eyes and the head, which tells you that when the head is healthy, azai gam haguf bari, that when the head is healthy, then the rest of the body is healthy as well. Which is another aspect of the interdependence of all Jews as one large body.